on the case of Statman versus University of Colorado. You can go ahead and set up, please. Have both counsel been able to review the court's policies and procedures sheet that's on the table, and are you familiar with those?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. We're ready to proceed if you are, counsel.
Okay. We are.
Your Honors, I'm Tom Belt. Have the privilege of representing Statmans, who are present in court today as well. As this court knows, this is an appeal of a dismissal based on the Governmental Immunity Act. One of the primary focuses will be on the vitality of Plummer versus Little. As the court probably knows, that case involved the El Paso County Department of Health, and the Court of Appeals applied the wrong standard for reviewing and construing the Governmental Immunity Act in that case, in determining that the health department was not a hospital. That court determined that instead of doing a strict construction of the Governmental Immunity Act, that in fact they would do a different construction. The Supreme Court granted certiorari on that case, but it was settled before the Supreme Court ruled. But in Corsentino, which the Supreme Court ruled the year after, it said that because the Governmental Immunity Act was in derogation of the common law, then in fact the Governmental Immunity Act should be strictly construed in order to afford coverage for injured parties when there was ambiguity. In this case, I think it's going to be important for the court to know of some of the facts.
Let me interrupt you a minute, Mr. Belts. If I recall, Corsentino said it should be broadly construed or strictly construed, as you just said.
They will strictly construe the those situations in which immunity is given to the government. So in other words, it would be broadly construed to allow recovery.
Okay.
The facts are going to be important, even though this court is required, as since it's construing the statute by Evans versus Romer, to review the facts itself and determine those facts for itself. That it's important to know the facts, because I think that what they will show is that the legislature really never intended, when it defined a public hospital, to prevent people such as my clients from making a claim, given the facts of this case. It would be really, this is almost logic 101 in terms of how we analyze what the holding of Plummer is. Specifically, if you have a faulty premise, that is, that as Plummer found, that the wrong standard is applied in reviewing the Governmental Immunity Act, then the conclusion that is reached is suspect. So for Colorado University to argue that in fact Plummer says that we lose in this case, which the facts are different, as I will point out, is based on a mistake that Plummer's court had made in how they construed the statute. So again, if you have a faulty premise, it's clear that you can't necessarily rely on the conclusion that comes from that faulty premise. Now, the facts of this case are very important, and the trial court makes reference to the fact that the agreement between the University of Colorado and its Wardenburg Health Center, that's the name of this facility, that the facts and the agreement they had with Boulder Community and its subpart for mental health conditions, Mapleton, is very important. My client's son comes to Wardenburg seeking treatment. And look at the definition that Plummer gives to what a hospital it is. And they give three definitions, all of them very similar, basically saying where somebody comes who is ill for treatment. Clearly, we would fit within that definition. But Ben Statman comes to Wardenburg. He is assigned a psychiatrist who has a private practice in town, Boulder, and also works on a contract basis as a governmental employee for Wardenburg. She becomes his treating physician throughout the course of this case or this matter. A few months later, he is psychotic and is seen at Boulder Community's emergency room. He is deemed to be a threat to himself. He is therefore, instead of put into Boulder Community because it's a mental health condition, he is admitted to Mapleton. Mapleton, everybody acknowledges, is part of Boulder Community, and it's part of this agreement that Wardenburg has in order to provide services. Well, people who are students can buy health insurance that will allow them to be seen at Boulder Community and at Mapleton, or they can be seen at Wardenburg. It's obviously cheaper for CU to have people treated there. He is at Mapleton on a 72-hour hold because of his threat to himself. Now, if we were to say that the criteria for determining whether a hospital is based on an overnight stay, a place that somebody that has beds, which seems to be the argument of CU, then it would be logical to conclude that maybe a nursing home is a hospital. Well, we know it's not by Gallegos, and it shouldn't be. That's not where people go to get treatment. They go there for another purpose. So a nursing home, just because it has beds, doesn't mean that it's a hospital. Likewise, if we say that a hospital is a place like Mapleton, which you can have secure facilities to make sure people don't hurt themselves, well then, would we say that a jail is a hospital? Clearly not. And even after the crisis passes, Mapleton, they are capable, very capable, of providing outpatient care to people such as Ben Statman. But instead, while he is hospitalized at Mapleton, its medical providers communicate with his psychiatrist through Wardenburg and decide to release him to the care of the same psychiatrist who treated him and gives instructions as to why it is he had this psychotic reaction. Specifically, thereafter, he is treated for ADHD by the psychiatrist and given medication that's counterindicated and is known to contribute to causing suicides. Now, we believe the ADHD diagnosis was wrong, and the treatment he was provided was wrong. And yet, the coordination continuity of services that are provided by these facilities, and that's what's critical, I think. You know, he's getting care from several providers that are all communicating and working together and have agreements between the two of them. And to kick out this particular care that occurs at Wardenburg and say, aha, you're not a hospital. And even though this is continuity of care, it could be provided by Mapleton. And look at Mapleton and what it looks like compared to Wardenburg. I submit when you're talking about a psychiatric or a mental health facility, that the old rules is saying, we go to a hospital to have surgery. Well, that doesn't happen in a mental health context. And in today's society, not 1972 when the Governmental Immunity Act was passed, but today, we all know there are surgical centers all over. The definitions that may have prompted the legislature to use the words public hospital in 1972 in response to the Supreme Court saying, we're going to determine that the Governmental Immunity Act, as it has grown up in Colorado, is no longer valid because of the inconsistencies that the common law had developed. And therefore, we disapprove of the immunities that have developed under the law.
Mr. Belts, let me interrupt you for a minute. Based on your definition, what is not a hospital? What is not a hospital? I mean, it sounds to me like every clinic becomes a hospital. Every doctor's office becomes a hospital. I don't see the distinction. Let me just ask you, what is not a hospital?
Nursing home is not a hospital. It's not where, by definition of plumber, it's not where people go to get treatment.
Okay, so hospital. Every place, so if we go for treatment, if I go to, for treatment to my eye doctor and get my my glaucoma checked, is that a hospital?
No, I wouldn't say so because first of all,
has privileges at a hospital. He could do surgery on my eyes if he thought it were necessary.
I don't think you have to go that far to make those distinctions because when you look at the website that Wardenburg has about a comprehensive medical facility and all the types of things they do, that I don't think we need to go to the extreme, and also those aren't public entities either because we have to assume when the legislature passed this law, they were talking about public facilities, not every conceivable clinic that could be anywhere.
So you're correct. I mean, I accept that. So what kind of facility would not be a hospital within the CGIA?
Well, we know the nursing home would not be.
Well, of course, you've already said that's because you don't get medical care there. So let's go to what kind of facility that does provide medical care would not be a hospital.
Again, I think you only deal with the facts of this case.
Well, but you realize that we would be setting a precedent. If we said that this facility is a hospital, and we said based on your argument that mm-hmm. its connections with hospitals and its referrals, what's left?
I think what's left is the definition that plumber gives to what is a hospital, and if you apply that, that's all you have to do, and I don't think that you go the next step and say we're going to decide every hypothetical thing, whether an eye clinic or otherwise. If the purpose is as they defined a hospital to be, fits that definition, then that's a hospital. And clearly Wardenburg is a hospital by that definition.
So basically, Plummer's already decided this, and if we just apply Plummer, that's the conclusion.
Plummer's definition together with the Corsentino analysis, and sit as you would if you were hearing Plummer, and although I think Plummer is less a county health department instead of Wardenburg Medical Center. I mean, what are hospitals called, what you and I think of as hospitals in context in today's society? Almost every hospital is called a medical center.
Well, let me ask you then, what is the standard in Plummer that you want us to apply here?
That in fact, Plummer was mistaken when they said that they were going to strictly construe the statute. Well, in effect, what we had the first conversation about, that in fact, you should liberally construe the lack of immunity.
Before your time runs out,
yep.
Let me ask you a question as to how do you reconcile Montoya versus Trinidad State Nursing Home with your argument concerning Plummer?
Well, just as I say, a nursing home is not where sick people go to receive treatment. The people that are provide treatment, even if they do at a nursing home, come from outside, and they are not employees of that nursing home. So that's, I think that that's not a difficult thing. Here, we have actually a psychiatrist. We have interns. I mean, this mental health facility, compare it to what Mapleton looks like and say, what is the difference? We don't have lockup facilities, and we no longer have beds. And as I say, those are distinctions without a difference in terms of, I believe, the public policy behind what the Supreme Court has been saying about the Governmental Immunity Act. And there goes all my rebuttal time, but thank you very much.
You have 12 seconds left if you want to use it for a rebuttal. Proceed, counsel.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Patrick O'Rourke, and I represent the University of Colorado. Mr. Belt started his argument by saying that this case was going to address the continued vitality of the decision in Plummer versus Little in light of the Colorado Supreme Court's decision in the Corsentino case. Judge Hawthorne, I'd like to draw your attention back to your last question, where you asked how to reconcile that with the decision in the Montoya case. And in fact, it appears that that has already been reconciled, because the court came through and said that the definition of public hospital as applied in the Plummer case is valid under the Corsentino analysis. So that this court has already looked at Corsentino and Plummer versus Little and said that the same analysis is appropriate. And in that case, Plummer versus Little is controlling of the facts of this case, because the case was brought against the county health department in Plummer versus Little, but it was brought out of the actions of a facility licensed as a community clinic. That is the same type of licensure that the Wardenburg Health Science Center has. And the court did not look at it simply as, is this a place where people come to receive care? Because as Judge Carparelli said, there are hundreds of different places where people could come to receive care. They looked at whether or not it met the prevailing definitions of a public hospital. And a hospital is a place where people come to receive inpatient care and surgical care. That is the definition of a hospital, both as construed in Plummer, but more importantly, as defined in the comprehensive system of regulation that the state of Colorado has for healthcare facilities. If you go to the Colorado statutes, specifically statute 25-1-103, you will see that the Colorado General Assembly has laid out more than a dozen different types of potential healthcare facilities. They include hospitals, they include psychiatric hospitals, they include community clinics, they include nursing homes. Each of those is a separate entity under Colorado law, and we know from that when the General Assembly wishes to say hospital, they are capable of distinguishing hospital from other types of healthcare facilities. And in that case, the controlling precedent from the court, I would suggest, in this case is not Corsentino, but it is CEJA versus Lemire, which came out last year. And CEJA said, yes, you do construe waivers of governmental immunity broadly, but in doing so, the first place where a court looks is to the plain language of the statute itself. And where the statute itself is clear and unambiguous, as it is in this case in defining a hospital, there is no need to resort to any other statutory presumptions. And in fact, the court cannot modify the language used in the Governmental Immunity Act through interpretation. And that's exactly what Mr. Belt suggested, is that you would take a statute that was passed in 1972. I grant him that. But the statute used the word hospital. And he suggests that the provision of health care in society today renders that restriction obsolete, or that it should be changed. But it is not the function of this court to change the statutory language. It is the function of the General Assembly to go look at the Governmental Immunity Act if it believes that limitations of liability are being applied too restrictively in this context, to say, we don't mean hospital anymore, we mean any type of healthcare facility, any type of healthcare institution, any place where a person comes to seek medical care provided by a governmental entity. But the General Assembly has not done that and has only used the term hospital, which Wardenburg does not meet either the common sense definition of it, because it is not an inpatient facility. It offers only limited hours of operation. It offers primary care. It does not offer the range and function of medical services that the courts have determined are necessary for an entity to function as a hospital. More importantly, Seeger versus Lemira also stands for the proposition that the distinctions that the General Assembly made in the Governmental Immunity Act matter. And they matter because public entities could have very, very different significant levels of liability depending upon how the General Assembly has restricted the terms. If the General Assembly had come in and said, any type of healthcare facility, including community clinics like Wardenburg, are subject to liability, that's creating a greater range of potential liabilities under the Governmental Immunity Act. And we can presume that the General Assembly meant what it said by restricting it to hospital. Perhaps it didn't wish to burden university clinics, county clinics, practitioners who run a small governmental entity in a facility somewhere out in eastern Colorado. Didn't mean to subject them to the same type of liabilities that it meant to subject hospitals, which by definition are more complex facilities operating continuous, skilled, 24-hour nursing care, emergency care, surgical care. Could say the resources available to those type of entities are different and will have greater liabilities of one versus the other. Those distinctions under the Governmental Immunity Act have to be given full force of an effect. And Judge Coccarelli, I would look, for example, for guidance to the Curtis case that you decided a year and a half ago, when you determined, for example, that a splashdown pool at Waterworld didn't fall within the definition of a swimming facility under the Governmental Immunity Act. And you looked at it and said, functionally, the General Assembly, we have to say that they intended what they meant, which is a splashdown pool for somebody riding a water ride is a different place than a person who is coming to swim in a pool. Just as you were unwilling to expand the liabilities there, although somebody could say, in both cases, you get wet. In both cases, people went somewhere to have enjoyment in water. It doesn't mean that the terms in the Act itself can be disregarded. Consequently, when you're dealing with a statutory scheme where the General Assembly has said liability exists only for public hospitals, you then have legislation that shows we, the General Assembly, distinguish between hospitals, psychiatric hospitals, nursing homes, other types of healthcare facilities, including community clinics. That gets carried through in a regulatory structure administered by the Department of Health that says a hospital is a 24-hour inpatient facility. A community clinic is not. And a trial court's decision finding absolutely no evidence that this entity functioned as a hospital, did not provide inpatient services, did not provide surgical services, did not provide overnight care, did not operate an emergency room, did not have any of the essential functions of a hospital, the trial court's factual determination, which is entitled to deference under the clearly erroneous standard in Powell, is entitled to deference there, as is the trial court's determination that Wardenburg is not an affiliate of a public hospital as well.
Mr. O'Rourke, let me ask you, how do you respond to plaintiffs' argument in their appellate briefs that Plummer defined a hospital as an institution or place where sick or injured persons are given medical or surgical care? It appears that plaintiffs are arguing that Wardenburg, in this instance, meets that definition, and that is the definition provided by Plummer.
I would disagree strenuously with that reading of Plummer. First, because the very nature of Plummer was dealing with a community clinic where it's undisputed that a person sought care. So that although a hospital is a place where people seek care, the Plummer court then went on to define that a hospital is an inpatient facility. It is a place where people come to receive inpatient care and surgical care, because otherwise Plummer would have come out the other way. Plummer held that governmental immunity applied and that governmental immunity was not waived for a community clinic where it's undisputed someone came to receive care. The holding in Plummer retains its vitality as it's been cited in the Montoya case, in the Daly case, in the Awad case, and continues to express the principle that it is only a hospital setting where somebody comes to receive care of an inpatient nature at a facility that provides that type of care where the waiver of governmental immunity exists. Finally, I wish to address the issue that Mr. Belts was talking about the agreements between the facilities. It's true that the University of Colorado, through Wardenburg, entered agreements that, one, allowed students to be able to receive treatment at Boulder Community Hospital and at the Mapleton Community Clinic at a preferential rate. We don't deny that, but we don't believe that that converts this into an affiliation agreement. There is no evidence that there is shared credentialing between the entities. There's no evidence of shared functions between the entities. And in fact, the evidence was to the contrary, which is that this exists to allow referrals to be made. But once those referrals are made, it is the discretion of the practitioners at each entity as to how those patients will be treated. As the trial court found, and again, this finding under PAL is entitled to deference, as a factual finding made by the trial court, there is no evidence of any type of affiliation other than measures to provide accessibility and continuity of care, and that those in and of themselves don't have the type of control that is necessary in order to create the type of affiliation that was addressed in Plummer. But I would even suggest that that language in Plummer is overbroad, because the CGIA does not allow liability for anyone who operates or is affiliated with a public hospital. The only waiver within the Governmental Immunity Act is for the operation of a public hospital, and there is no evidence that would support the conclusion that Wardenburg is anything other than what it is, which is a community clinic. And under Plummer and CG versus Lemira and the other precedents of this court, the waiver of governmental immunity does not exist under these circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. And Mr. Belts, you have 12 seconds.
Your Honors, if the definition was controlled by whether or not there was inpatient facilities, then why didn't the legislature, instead of using hospital, talk about inpatient facilities? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel, for your arguments. The matter will stand submitted, and an opinion will issue in due course.